It's January 23rd, 2016, and we're going to start out the new year with a bang, a KPFA LSB. I hope it ends up being a good bang, but I am calling to order the 2016 LSB as the pro tem chair who was elected as the last board had its last act as it went dark in 2015. So I am saying that what I am calling to order is the 2016 board. So the first
point
order
of order.
Business. Yes, Janet.
Point of information. You're calling to order the 2016, it's 2015 LSB.
No, I'm calling to order the 2015 board ended in December of 2015, elected me as pro tem chair to carry over into 2016 to begin, and then we'll have the new board convened and elect permanent officers. Okay.
Well, according to the agenda, there's something about 2015 board.
Well, I'm saying that's an incorrect agenda, that the 2015 board is dead. It ended in December of 2015. So you want to call the roll?
So I'm, oops.
What happened?
Oh, gravity. Okay, so let's see. Let me get the, where did I put that form here?
Point of information.
Table, the 2015.
The new board.
2016.
The 2016 board should be sitting at the table.
So those who are not, those who were on the 2015 board who aren't carrying over to the 2016 board should not be sitting at the table. Is
right.
that correct?
We right. And they thank them. Yes. Yay.
Okay, so I'll give folks a chance to get seated. Yeah, I think it's on. Well, let me give people a chance to sit down.
We're doing all that for, I was kind of in the wrong spot. I switched and I didn't have to.
Okay, so everybody settled in, and we'll head down the roll by last name, and starting with Adams.
Here.
Adams is here. Alderson, I am here. Campisi?
Here.
Campisi is here. Edwards-Tiekert?
Here.
Edwards-Tiekert is here. Fest?
Here.
Fest is here. Fuentes?
Present.
Fuentes is here. Futrin?
Here.
Futrin is here. Goen?
Here.
Goen is here. Hernandez. Hernandez is not here. Jacobs.
Here.
Jacobs is here. Coburn.
Present.
Coburn is here. Lynch. Lynch, David.
Here.
And Tim Lynch.
Here.
Tim Lynch and David Lynch are both here. Moore. Moore is not here. Morgan.
Here.
Morgan is here. Olson.
Here.
Olson is here. Scruggs. Scruggs is not here.
Point,
Sterling?
Point of information or point of order.
Yes.
I'm here. Okay. Scruggs is here.
Okay, Scruggs is here. Sterling?
Here.
Oops. Sterling is here. Teo Nichols is not here.
Teo Nichols is ill.
Thompson?
Here.
Thompson is here. Travis?
Here.
Travis is here. Whipperman?
Here.
Whipperman is here. White?
Here.
White is here. Wilkinson?
I'm here.
Wilkinson is here. Withers?
Here.
Withers is here. And McCoy? Quincy McCoy is not here.
Point of order.
That is 22 present and 3 absent, and we have a quorum.
Point of order.
Point of order.
Okay, so the seat that Andrea Pritchett occupied that termed out on December 5th, 2015, was replaced, according to the bylaws, by the next runner-up in the 2012 election, which was the runners-up list at the time was the only list that existed. And so this goes back to September, and initially Beth Seligman was next on the runners-up list, number 9, but she's not able to take the seat. So Oriana Sopartis, who is sitting next to me, was 10th on the list, so she is sitting on this board as a replacement for Andrea Pritchett and has been technically since December 5th. So T.M. Scruggs, who is the first runner-up in the 2015 election, is not on this board.
I think that's a question for open for discussion, and I'd like to open discussion on that question. Do I see any people who want to speak? Margie.
Okay. I'm not quite sure what's going on. First of all, I recall seeing a number of emails from Janet directing us that T.M. Scruggs was to replace Andrea Pritchett, and it's my recollection that she provided Craig Alderson, our secretary, with his email address and so on. So, and I don't get how somebody from the 2012 election would be replacing somebody on this board. Our 2015 election was over on December 4th, and Andrea Pritchett's seat came open on December 5th. So clearly, it would be someone, whoever was the top runner-up on the 2015 mm-hmm. election list, would be the person to replace, to fill in that vacancy.
Janet?
Well, on December 4th or December 5th, there was no 2015 runners-up list. The election had not been certified. The 2015 election had not been certified. The bylaws say if a delegate position becomes vacant midterm, that delegate shall be replaced for the remainder of his or her term by the highest ranked candidate from the last election of delegates for that class of members for that station, etc. On Thursday, this past Thursday, there was a PNB meeting. A very similar situation at WBAI had come up where one of their delegates termed out in December 2015, actually later in December, on December 23rd, even though their election was extended, that seat, it was determined, resolved by the PNB that seat should be replaced by the runner-up from the 2012 election because that was the last list. And what was also ruled was that the list from the last election remains in place until a new list it comes up. And there was no new list on December 5th. And also there wasn't even a runners-up list. So so Ariana is on the Beth or and Ariana has that seat and should have been seated in December. When it comes to my having referred TM Scruggs, that was before this PNB decision and before I learned differently about how this works. And I don't think that an LSB or an LSB cannot defy a PNB. So what applied to WBAI by extension should apply here.
Bill.
I'm Bill Campisian, and I'm new to the board, and I haven't been involved in a lot of KPFA politics. In fact, it's sort of off-putting. It made me reconsider my support of the station a couple of years ago. So I think we should look at this issue from a membership perspective. You know, take a member who's not involved in the politics. Would they reasonably expect that someone who was a runner-up from a 2012 election would end up on this board after an election at the end of 2015? If you do that, you basically dilute the vote and the voters, the memberships who voted in 2015. I mean, the people who voted in 2015 expected that their votes would select the board going forward from that election. They weren't thinking that someone from an election 3 years ago who was a runner-up would sit on the board now. I don't think that's a fair electoral process. And I think that that runner-up, I don't understand why that runner-up didn't run in the 2015 election then. If they wanted to be on the board, why didn't they run? So, you know, I mean, we can get into all the technical arguments about what happened on December 4th and what happened on December 5th, but we should be looking at what a member who's not involved in the politics would expect us to do. I mean, that's really what this board should be doing. And so, and I think if you found a member, an objective member who wasn't involved in these politics, they would be thinking, I don't see why a KPFA election should put someone on the board who didn't run for the board and was a runner-up on a list 3 years ago. It's not a sensible or fair process if you do that.
Tim, Sharon, is that right? Tim, and then Sharon. And
so I'm Tim Lynch. It seems to me that a list did, for this election, did become available on December 4th. We just didn't know what it was yet. So there was an election. So the last election before her seat termed out concluded on December 4th. So there was a runner-up, even though we didn't know who it was yet. Once the votes were counted, we knew who the runner-up was, and the runner-up is T.M. Scruggs. The election, though, was concluded before the term ended, Andrea's term ended on December 5th. Therefore, we're not in the same situation of WBAI, whose election was still ongoing until January. So they didn't have a resolved election in December. We did.
Sharon.
Hello. Yes, Sharon Adams. And be on the board.
Welcome.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I actually tend to agree with Bill that we should honor the will of the voters and that the voters did just have an election and they had TM as our runner-up. My problem is that that honoring of the voters doesn't seem to apply in New York because then we start getting into all these technical rules of why honoring the will of the voters doesn't apply in New York. And what I would like to see is consistency. I do agree we should honor the will of the voters. I think we should honor the will of the voters here, and we should honor the will of the voters in New York. And maybe the way to do that, because we are a local station board and not the PNB, is to pass some sort of resolution or motion to the PNB asking that the same rules be applied in New York as applied here. Because I actually think it is important that we honor our people who chose to vote, because there is a lot of disillusionment about KPFA and a lot of people that have chosen not to vote. So we should honor the people that actually got out and voted. But we should do it consistently here and in New York. Craig.
Well, I think the bottom line for my name is Craig Alderson, by the way. Bottom line for consistency is the bylaws, and the bylaws state the last election. And I think we would be totally consistent with the decision that was made in New York because that, as Tim points out, that election hadn't closed yet. Our election closed on December 4th, and Tim is absolutely right. The results were in. Whether or not they were certified, the results were in. The election closed. That is now the last election, and that's what we should go by. And it makes no sense in the big picture, Bill is absolutely right. It makes no sense for us to reach back to 2012 with a different electorate, a different environment, different times, different everything, and put somebody on the board. I think that just really sort of subverts the whole idea of elections and representation. So I think we will be totally consistent if we seat T.M. Scruggs.
Brian.
I think everybody's made good arguments, and we're starting to repeat our arguments. And for the sake of moving the meeting on, I would ask the chair to rule so that if someone disagrees with the ruling, we can go to a vote on it and move forward.
I rule that T.M. Scruggs is the board member, and I distinguish the decision from the PNB and New York decision based on the timing of the election and the vacancy of the seat. And that's my ruling.
I challenge the ruling of the chair.
Okay. I think that is undebatable and just...
No, it's debatable.
Oh, it's debatable. Oh, great.
And I'd like to speak to it.
Okay. Yes.
Then I would like to set a limit on the debate. And I believe that comes first under Robert's Rules of Orders. No more than a minute for each person who wants to enter into this debate, and certainly no more than 5 minutes on this. Then I make that motion.
Second. Okay. Does anybody want to debate that, or is that not debatable? Not debatable. Yay. Okay.
But it needs two-thirds.
Okay. All in favor of that motion, please raise your hand. Count. Maybe we could just get the no vote. Noes.
Two noes.
That passes. Okay. Abstentions. Two. Okay. By the way, I feel lousy today, and so I apologize if I leave even. Also, I have a habit, for those of you who are new and don't know, that I'm sometimes sharp-tongued when I get impatient, and I apologize ahead of time. I usually try and do it with a sense of humor. Chairing this board is a
challenge.
It's a challenge. But I may not be the chair for long. So, okay.
Sometimes she breaks into song.
Janet is now going to break into song.
Yes, so a few things. First, on December 4th, 5th, the 2015 election was still going on. It had not been certified. It was the current election, not the last election, as per the bylaws. So the last election per the bylaws at that time was the 2012 election. Two, there were people who ran in the 2012 election. The voters elected who they elected at that time, one of whom was Andrea Pritchett, and also there were 10 listener runners-up at the time, and Beth was 9 and Oriana was 10. And finally, a resolution by this LSB to tell the PNB to be consistent at WBAI with this board is the flip of what should happen. The PNB oversees the LSBs. The LSBs are standing committees of the PNB. The PNB passed a motion, and we should be consistent with
time.
That.
Who's next? Okay, it looks like we're ready to vote. All those in favor of upholding the chair, please raise your hand.
Roll call.
Upholding. Roll call.
Lest we fight in the middle of the roll call, we'll not count whichever occupant of that seat it would be on the vote?
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so just to be clear, a yes vote upholds the chair's ruling, a no vote overturns it. Is that what we're doing? Got it?
What is the chair's ruling?
Okay, can you?
The chair's ruling is that based on the fact that Andrea Pritchett's seat came on December 5th, and the election for KPFA concluded on December 4th, that T.M. Scruggs is the person who fills that previous vacancy, and this distinguishes it from the facts on New York, where the seat became eligible prior to the election closing in New York. That's my ruling. So my ruling is essentially Scruggs gets the seat.
Okay, and a yes vote means you agree with that ruling. So Adams?
Abstain.
Adams abstains. Alderson, I vote yes. Campisi?
Yes.
Campisi, yes. Edwards Tiekert?
Yes.
Edwards Tiekert, yes. Fest?
No.
Fest, no. Fuentes?
Yes.
Fuentes, yes. Futren?
Yes.
Futren, yes. Goen?
Yes.
Goen, yes. Hernandez, not here. Jacobs?
Abstain.
Jacobs, abstain. Coburn, excuse me, Coburn?
No.
Coburn, no. Lynch, David?
Yes.
David Lynch, yes. Tim Lynch?
Yes.
Tim Lynch, yes. Moore, not here. Morgan?
No.
Morgan, no. Olson?
No.
Olson, no. Not Scruggs, not voting. Sterling?
No.
Sterling, no. Tao Nichols, not here. Thompson?
Yes.
Thompson, yes. Travis?
Yes.
Travis, yes. Whipperman?
Yes.
Whipperman, yes. White?
Yes.
White, yes. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Wilkinson, yes. Withers?
Yes.
Withers, yes, and that's 14.
I think my vote doesn't count.
Okay, well, you want me to mark you as not voting? Abstain? Okay. 14 yes, 5 no, 2 abstentions, and it passes.
Mr. Strug, that worries me that I'm not talking.
Point of procedure?
Just hold it a minute.
Okay.
I'm having trouble.
Okay.
Okay, you want to take a chair at the table? Thank you. Point of procedure.
I would like to suggest that before we move on to the next order of business, that we have a special order of business. That we have a special order of business where we go around the table and everybody tell us who you are and a little bit about yourself. I know it will take a little bit of time, but I don't think it makes sense for us to go any further in this day and in this process without doing that. So that's my suggestion for a procedure.
For the agenda.
Point
of order.
To add a point of in the agenda right now.
Well, it exists right now. After the
Oh, I guess we have to approve the agenda.
We have to approve the agenda.
Okay.
It comes after CAB, the CAB report. It's here.
I see. It's
right.
There.
I had suggested and
but
so let's approve the agenda. Will somebody move the agenda?
Okay, then. All right. Is there a motion?
Barbara.
I move that we move the greetings, as Margie was suggesting, to this front part of the agenda.
Second.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so is there a motion on the floor to accept the agenda?
So moved.
I mean, we're all out of order now. And
okay.
I'm
Hold
having
on.
Trouble.
Okay.
So I want people
you have to
be
have
kind
it.
Here.
Yeah.
And okay. So I'm presuming there's a motion on the floor to
yes.
with the agenda, with a change in the agenda.
Right.
And that is now to be debated.
Thank you. I've already said. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Item number one.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. After the agenda is approved. Okay. Janet.
No.
No. Okay. All in favor, please raise your hands. Opposed. Okay, we've done that. Janet has another amendment to the agenda.
Yes, I move that item number 17 be in executive session be at a time certain to take place in time to report out to the open meeting before adjournment time. This new business item, and I'd like to motivate that.
Go ahead.
Point of order.
Yes.
Could we move to table that? Oh, you guys got the mic.
It seems to me, Janet, we could bring that up in a few minutes. What we're trying to do is learn about who we are first. So rather than vote any more on the agenda items, if we could just, like, it seems to me, you know, hold that back just for a second. And then my concern about the agenda items is the stuff under 215 LSB. I think we should deal with that and strike that from this agenda unless it's already been done. So we get that off the agenda and then do our meet and greet.
May I motivate this, please?
Yeah.
Okay, so the PNB on January 7th, in closed session, passed a motion that requires a certain document to be distributed to all the LSBs in closed session. And I have that document, and I would like to distribute it. And it takes just 5 minutes just to distribute it. So that's all I'm asking, not anything else. And so under item 17, new business, that would just be changed to executive session and still 5 minutes.
Point of information, does the distribution of a confidential document require executive session?
May I? The PNB requires this for this particular document that there be an executive session.
Margie.
I just want to say I don't think there's any reason to change where the item appears on the agenda. All we need to do is agree that at 3:30 we can go to that item and not change the agenda. In executive session, I don't care.
Everybody not care?
Oh, maybe some people care. So I would divide the question. Let's vote one on the executive session, and let's vote. So my motion is, I can't do that. I want to divide the question. Let's vote on the question of the executive session, and then if that is approved, then we will agree to do it at a time certain at 3:30. Okay? Brian's got his hands over his face. This is
yeah,
not
me
a good
too.
Idea.
I'm unclear what Janet's original motion is before we start dividing it up. Has she written it down? Okay. Because we're going to be really confused in a minute.
I'm already confused. And And is there a reason it can't be emailed to people? So that's confident. That's a confidential transfer. I mean, that's just absurd.
What's
but
the motion? So
okay, what's the motion?
Okay, to make item 17 an executive session at 3:30 time certain, and no, the document is not going to be emailed. That's not been something that has worked in terms of confidentiality, and that's not what the PNB wants.
Okay. All right. On the motion.
That way, if we conclude everything at 2 o'clock...
We don't have to hang around.
We don't have to hang around for an hour and a half.
That seems reasonable. Is everybody shake their head with that, baby? Yes, okay. All right. Okay, so now we're going to vote on that. And this obviously has two parts, that it's executive session, 3:30, time certain or earlier. Right? Okay. All in favor, please raise your hands. Do you want to debate this? Oh, please. Let me kill myself. Okay, Margie. Okay, Margie. Executive session. All those in favor of going into executive session, raise your hand.
Roll call, please.
Roll call. Okay.
May I just make a quick comment?
No.
Okay, so this is going into executive session. This is part one of the divided question. Adams?
Yes.
Adams, yes. Alderson? No. Campisi? No. Campisi, no. Edwards-Tiegert?
Abstain.
Edwards-Tiegert, abstain. Fest? Fest, abstain. Fuentes?
No.
Fuentes, no. Futren?
Abstain.
Futren, abstain. Goen?
No.
Goen, no. Hernandez, not here. Jacobs?
Abstain.
Jacobs, abstain. Coburn?
Yes.
Coburn, yes. David Lynch?
Abstain.
David Lynch, abstain. Tim Lynch?
Abstain.
Tim Lynch, abstain. Moore, not here. Morgan?
Yes.
Morgan, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Olson, yes. Scruggs?
Abstain.
Scruggs, abstain. Sterling?
Yes.
Sterling, yes. Taylor Nichols, not here. Thompson? Thompson, abstain. Travis?
Abstain.
Travis, abstain. Whipperman?
Abstain.
Whipperman, abstain. White?
No.
White, no. Wilkinson?
I abstain.
Wilkinson abstains. Withers?
Abstain.
Withers abstains. Wow. Oops.
The abstentions win.
Okay, well, that gives us 12 abstentions, 5 yes, and 5 no. So that fails.
So it fails. So it fails.
May I just, the document then will not be distributed.
Okay, so then it's off the agenda. Okay, we don't have to vote the second part. Okay. Now we go to the greetings, I believe, although we haven't accepted the agenda. So all those,
I just need to amend it. We do need to approve the minutes, and I would like to insert that after, you know, somewhere.
After the election, which is after the greetings.
Okay, sure.
Okay. All right. So here's what we're going to vote on. My understanding, I know you'll correct me if I'm wrong, or if we disagree, even if I'm right. So the greeting, go around and getting to know each other, one. Two, election of LSB officers. Three, what did you just say? Minutes. four. Roll call's got to. Oh, we already did roll call. Okay. Then announcement, public comments, CAB, approved meeting schedule, general manager's report, treasurer's report, break, PNB elections, PNB report, KFC report, old business, although old business, I think, actually, except for the Janet's subject, because she's raised it recently again on LSB committees, is not here anymore. That's a that this you don't carry over old business from a board that's gone. So it's the old business will be Janet's, and maybe that's new business. Okay, and then adjourn. That's what we're voting on. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed. Okay, we're going to go around the room and say something about ourselves. And I don't know where to start. I'm not going to start. How about? I want to be last. Why don't we just go around the room? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Starting with Janet. So, you know, we haven't heard enough from Janet today, so we're going
to I think we should debate where to start.
With a roll call. A roll call. Okay.
Well, hi, everybody. I'm Janet Coburn, and I've been on this LSB since January 2012. I have been on the PNB for the last 2 years. I'm currently PNB secretary. I come from a background of I was a teacher for a gazillion years in New York, and then I was in information technology for a long time. And I am an eclectic activist involved in all kinds of issues, and some of my main issues were have been Palestine solidarity. I still am active in that, and Occupy movement, and housing justice, and a whole bunch of other things. And I'll stop there.
Hi there. My name is Samsara Morgan, and I've been here for a while. How long have I been here? It's been a while. I am a mom, a grandmom. I am. My work in the world is that I'm a doula and apprentice midwife, parenting educator, counselor, coach, and hypnotherapist. My main activism is around helping families make happy, healthy choices and working to quell the disgusting infant and maternal mortality rate that is part of this country. And it's a pretty hideous effect on women of color and their babies. And very involved in Occupy, the founder and co-facilitator of our children's village there. And happy to say hello to everybody.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jose Luis Fuentes. I'm an attorney here in Oakland. I'm also a member of National Lawyers Guild. My current work involves getting a police commission put in place in Oakland to deal with the aftermath once the negotiated settlement agreement ends. That's about it.
My name is Bill Campisi. I came to Berkeley in 1966 to go to UC. I left UC without a degree because I thought the revolution was coming. I went back and got it, though, when Reagan was the governor, so I actually have a diploma with his signature on it. So I was a carpenter and a, you know, plumber, electrician, and I did that in Europe for 3 years. And I came back here and I became a lawyer. So I represent patients who've been injured, and so I sue the medical industry a lot. That's what I... and so I consider myself working in the area of patient safety and healthcare quality. And I spend most of my life in other people's tragedies and have been so for a long time now. So I I worked at KPFA, I think, in 1972 in the front desk answering phones. I met Philip at that time when he was a cute young man. He's a cute older man now, but anyhow, Philip convinced me to get involved in KPFA again, so here I am.
My name is Tim Lynch. My day job, I work in nonprofit sector as an event manager. I've been in the nonprofit sector for 20 plus years. I've been involved with KPFA. I began volunteering in the mid 1990s. I've been on the air there since 2000. So I was a staff rep. Began broadcasting more years ago than I'd care to admit. So I've been in, started in college radio, mostly in non-commercial radio, but I have some commercial broadcasting experience as well. And I look forward to working with you all on the board.
My name is Sasha Futrin, and I've spent 6 years on this board with 3 years off, and I'm clearly a masochist. My background is that I worked in media. I started out in print, ended up in print and broadcasting. My first radio job was for a very conservative radio station in Atlanta, Georgia. That was the CBS affiliate. The general manager was a former employee of the John Birch Society. I was their token female on the air, including their entire news department. It was news and talk. And I had a daily talk show, and I was rated in second place, but I upset an awful lot of people. And I've been an activist on Central America and Cuban politics, but mostly in media. And I've managed to get people so upset with me in mainstream media that I had to move into the nonprofit world a bit. And I guess I look forward to the next 3 years.
Hi, I'm Margie Wilkinson. I started listening to KPFA when I was in high school because they were the only people to cover a peace march I participated in, and I was impressed by the fact that somebody actually told a story about what we did in the spring of 1960. I worked at UC for 40 years. I was a union activist there. I have a lot of experience doing that, and I've been on this board since I was elected in 2010, I think. Is that right? Is that possible?
Started
in 2011. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So in my real life, I'm the grandmother of six delightful children, aging in range from 15 to 3 months. I'm a community activist working in South Berkeley, dealing with issues of displacement and gentrification and the lack of affordable housing and the fact that the city of Berkeley, the majority on the city council has allowed super rich developers to take over our city and are trying to eat it up alive. And that's really where my heart is. And I was on the PMB for the last, 3, 4, some number of years. And I served as the IED after we fired Summer Reese in 2013. I did that for a year until we hired an ED who lasted all of about 6 weeks. Anyway, Pacifica is quite a ship to steer, let me tell you. Okay. Anyway, and I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy for all the new people on the board. I think it's wonderful.
My name is Richard Withers. I am the president of the Fresno Free, not the president, I am the executive director of the Fresno Free College Foundation, which is a group that got started in 1968 in Fresno when professors at Fresno State were being fired for political reasons under Governor Reagan when they were trying to eliminate union members and liberals from the campuses and decided to begin in Fresno. So they started it as a fund so they could write off on their taxes hiring lawyers. Later on, the foundation got involved in other musical things and other political things in Fresno and decided that they wanted to put a public radio station on the air and decided to bring in the signal from KPFA. KFCF went on the air in 1975. It was the first public radio or TV station in the Central Valley before the NPR, the campus station, Radio Bilingue, or the PBS station. So they were the first. And I've been involved in KFCF on and off over the years and took some time off when I realized I was going broke trying to be a station manager, and worked for about 20 years in commercial media, being an engineer for CBS Radio and some other groups. And when opening for executive director and general manager of KFCF came up in 2008, I applied and got it. And I have been chosen as the board delegate from KFCF, the associate station, as to sit on the LSB. And I congratulate and condolences to the new members, and glad everyone is here today.
Hello, everyone. I'm Frank Sterling. I got involved in KPFA through the KPFA apprenticeship program in 2005. I graduated in 2007, and then I became one of the fellows that worked with the apprentices, training the apprentices and stuff in 2007, 8. And then shortly after that, I got elected to a staff elected position on the board here, and I've been here ever since. And I'm still working at the apprenticeship program. That's what I'm doing.
I'm Scott Olson. I have a background of working in IT for several years, and when I was in the Marine Corps, there was a lot of crossover with radio communications, and I was sort of introduced to KPFA through being on a guest on several programs a few years ago. So I'm happy to be here. Thanks.
My name is Brian Edwards Teekert. I work at KPFA. I've been there. It'll be 13 years this March. I started volunteering the day we started bombing Iraq and got hired sometime later. I'm entering my 10th year of service in our governance system as a staff representative. For most of that time, most of my focus has been on finances, and that's where I expect to spend most of my time in the year ahead. I'm hoping we'll be able to get current on our audits, and we're facing, mostly in other parts of the networks, some extraordinarily difficult decisions when it comes to budgeting. And I'm also hoping that we will get our elections back up to speed, because I'm currently entering my fourth year of a three-year term, which is not necessarily how I want to be spending my time. So I was just hoping, it's amazing hearing where everyone here has come from. I was hoping that for the remainder of the round, people could speak a bit about what they'd like to accomplish on this board as well.
Hi, my name is T.M. Scruggs, and I have letters for a first name because my father's from the South. You can't find a more Southern name than T.M. Scruggs. However, I'm from Millbrae, and I got the wine bottle at the high school reunion for the most places lived inside the United States since high school, but I'm glad to be back. I live in Berkeley, came back about 6 years ago. I got involved in community radio in Portland, the KBOO, calling up with jazz people requests, and they said, why don't you do a show? So before I knew it, I was doing a couple of shows and tried to get a station in Chicago, as you know, that still has not happened. Right. Get a community station. There's too many colleges with 10 watts everywhere. And I've done a lot of community radio work also in Austin, down with KUT, which is now another station. And I lived in Nicaragua, and I was doing research on music. I'm an ethnomusicologist. I went back to school. And working community radio there, and then I was in Venezuela about 5 years ago, and I was also doing a lot of work with community radio there. I do remember visiting KPFA when I came out from Portland when it was back on Shattuck, right? And it was very friendly, really open. Someone gave me a book on the history of community radio and so on, and I would like to return to that kind of feeling of openness and invitation that I know I experienced there. And currently, I'm very interested in media, and so I am now working with TheRealNews.com, executive producer, and I'm on we renamed it, Board of Advisors, Truth Out, and do a lot of international, I'm interested in international solidarity work, and I'm a musician.
Yeah, I'm Anthony Fest. I'm a retired state employee. I was at the Public Utilities Commission in the ratepayer advocate section, the group which tries to get lower rates for residential customers. And I've been at KPFA since 1994. I started hosting the weekend news in 1996, Sunday news specifically. When the morning mix came along, I was delighted and honored to be a part of it. Unfortunately, it's gone again. Now I help out, and I still do Sunday news. I help out on Andres Soto's program. I do the technical production for the Poor News segment of Hard Knock, and I also produce Project Censored. So I've got several things going on at KPFA. Thank you. And previously served 2 terms on this board.
I'm Sharon Adams. I'm an attorney. I'm a patent, trademark, and copyright attorney here in Berkeley. I've had my office here for many years now. I'm also a member of the National Lawyers Guild and was the vice president of the local chapter of the National Lawyers Guild in 2014 and a board member on the local chapter of the National Lawyers Guild for about 5 years before that. Here in Berkeley, I have been an activist around, I don't know if you all recall, but Berkeley was actually one of the first, if not the first in the nation, to prevent ICE from having detainers on people for civil ICE detentions, and I actually was part of the Coalition for a Safe Berkeley that brought that legislation forth and got it passed, and also have worked on some police surveillance issues at the same time. I've been a longtime listener of KPFA, really love KPFA and think that it's extremely important for the voice of the people to get out to this world, especially in this time, and for the news and the public affairs to be very relevant to the immense changes that are facing all of us right now. And I'm very happy to be on this board. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Leland Thompson, resident of Oakland, born and raised in Oakland. And I was just, as everyone was talking, just reminiscing on my first protest, and I was 15 years old and actually going to Oakland High School, and it was police brutality. Police was shooting up a young black man, and I was an ROTC cadet, and I chose a bold move of protesting in my uniform and got my head handed to me. But, and ever since then, I've always been active about the treatment of people of color in the community and empowering young people. I'm an executive coach and leadership trainer. I've been sort of dubbed as a disruptive trainer because I like to teach teams that they have the ability to control their bosses and their leaders and to demand, you know, change in their workplace or whatever they're doing in their from a profit or nonprofit organization. My goal with KPFA originally was to assist in broadening the listenership, you know, and really looking at getting young people as leaders in this community, and specifically young people of color, to be more active in the community about, you know, what's available to them and what they have the power to do and to change. So that's my goal, to really push for the broadening of the listenership and get people more involved at any level, whether it's fundraising or just passing out information and getting making people more aware of the power that they have as a person in the community. And that's my goal. I spent 30 years in retail, both retail and the corporate and the stores organization, and my biggest goal was building teams and consulting and ensuring that you accomplish your goals and really trying to teach teams how to work with each other and how to fight fair, basically. And that's my biggest goal. And I want to really focus in on helping this team develop and grow and grow the listenership and grow the audience and be sustainable over the long haul. So that's me.
Hi, I am Sabrina Jacobs, and I host and produce A Rude Awakening, the 420 Report, and I just started a podcast for a publishing house that they also sit on the board for. And I've been at KPFA for the past 6 years. Started stuffing envelopes down in the phone room and moved my way up. I have a degree in broadcasting from San Francisco State. What spawned that was I was working at a nonprofit, a media nonprofit, and I saw that all the cool kids were able to do all the cool projects because they all had a bachelor's degree. So I was like, hey, I think I better go back to school. So I went back to school and ended up at KPFA and interned for the morning show, the old morning show, Flashpoint, moved on to the news department. Eileen helped me out a lot there. And when Morning Mix, I think it was in its second year, they lost a couple of hosts. I was able to take over and did every other Monday for a while until that died. And spun it off into a rude awakening. And I appreciate KPFA because the fact that I've been able to do what I want to do and put what I feel needs to be on the air in line with the mission statement, of course. And with that, what I hope to accomplish is to get back to the mission statement and stop all of this individual type movement and motion towards making things better for certain cliques and certain people. It needs to be, there needs to be equanimity, and we need to push for that. We need to start working together. How I want to accomplish that is basically just like what's your name again? Leyland, yeah. Sorry. What Leyland was saying was growing the listenership. We need to get the signal. The signal's out there, and it's ridiculous that nobody's listening. So we need to push to try to get people to listen to KPFA. Mainstream media listens to us. That's where they're getting, you know, their ideas for what they put on the air or what they filter through to be put on the air. They're listening. So why isn't everybody else? We've been here for 60-plus years. We need to be here for 60-plus, 60-plus, and 60-plus after that. So let's try to work together and move forward.
Hi, I'm Dave Lynch, and I don't have a very much of an activist background. Unlike many people in this room, I feel really different in that I'm an engineer that was pretty much apolitical up until the Bush administration. And the Iraq war drove me to try to find alternative sources because mainstream media was unbelievably bad about covering the truth. And I found KPFA through Democratic Underground. And I listened to Flashpoints, and I was just amazed at what I was hearing. It was incredible. The people were telling the absolute truth unflinchingly. And ever since then, I've been a compulsive podcast-only listener. So I'm kind of unusual in that I don't listen to terrestrial radio broadcasts, only podcasts. But I listen to almost everything that's news and public affairs that comes out of KPFA. I used to listen to the other stations, too, WBAI and KPFK in particular. But my what I'm trying to do on this board is just I really want to learn from all of you, and I've talked to many of you already, and your background is incredible, and I want to learn as much as I can about this, about the radio and about KPFA and its history so as to make the best possible decisions from the broadest perspective to try to keep the station strong and to try to grow its listeners and to just keep it as a resource that's so important, particularly for the news.
I'm Barbara Whipperman, and I have been on the board for 5 years and served initially as a non-member volunteer treasurer. I don't know if some of you may not realize, but if a board does not have people with skills and background to be secretary or treasurer, they can bring in someone who is not elected, and they have to be voted in by the board itself, not by listeners and staff. And you get to do a lot of work, and you don't get to vote. So after a year of that, I thought, well, this is crap. And I decided that if I'm here, I might as well be voting. And so I ran for the election. And I've been happy to serve as the treasurer. It is a difficult area that the station and the network and the LSB has to deal with, the money part. But I am, it seems like the right spot for me to participate. I came to Berkeley in 1955 to go to school at the university. And I was in some organizations that were sort of progressive. I used to go to Stiles Hall meetings where people were, in interracial groups. That was a big deal. As I went on, I married and had two children and then became very active in the community to try to increase child care services. Another area of activism was there was a big movement in the 60s, of course, about urban redevelopment. We were against a lot of the things that people are still fighting for now and against. I've been an anti-war activist and also, I would say, pro-socialism. I think we need a little more socialism in our democracy. And let's see, I had one other thing down here. No, that's about it. And I'm happy to serve on this board. I think everybody who loves the station should at least throw in 6 years of their life to keep it going. And actually, Sabrina, I get very nervous when people say we don't have listeners, because that's not true.
We don't have enough.
We don't have enough. I agree.
No.
I agree. We don't have enough. But don't go around saying we don't have listeners.
No.
We do. We have lots of listeners who love us. And
yeah, I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
I'm very aware of that.
Right.
It could be more.
And they love you. They call you up. You know. I mean. Aww. Anyway. I think that it is true. We need to advertise this service a little bit more. Okay. And now I give you the famous Carol Travis.
No, I'm not going to go last. I'm going to be one of the people. But it's hard for me not to go on forever because I'm old, and I have a long. I have a lot to say, so I'm going to do it really quickly. One of the most significant things about me is that my father was a communist who led the Flint sit-down strike, and my mother was a New Deal Democrat. So they split, let's say. I'm the outcome part of it. But so from a very early age, I was, involved in things because there were political conversations in the visits. Anyway, so my politics was both international. Went to Cuba in '59. Went to El Salvador early. Very active in Palestinian stuff. Very close with a lot of Palestinian leaders and people in this country. Do great work. I grew up in black neighborhoods. Very black identified, particularly. I was president of a General Motors UAW local that had 10,000 workers that was 60% black, 20% Latino, and 20% white, and did that for many years. And then I was picked up by Service Employees International Union, and I was the Illinois State Council director for a while until I came out here. When I came out here and heard KPFA on the radio, I was just like, What? I mean, I the first thing I turned on and Bob Avakian was on. Now, I know Bob Avakian, from the 60s because I was a 60s activist because I was alive then and so on. And I was like, what? And so I came to see that this radio station is such a jewel and such a treasure. And such an unusual, unfortunately unusual, entity in this country. And so, in that sense, that's my relationship to KPFA. I'm a listener who was just blown away by what's on the radio here. And so, my association with you know, I organized the 68 Democratic Convention stuff, and my sect, you know, my communist sect that I was part of, that I was a founder of, was one that nobody's ever heard of. It's called Sojourner Truth Organization, and we did working class organizing, and white skin privilege was a key, you know, central tenet of our understanding of what's going on. I was lucky enough to be in Occupy in New York in 2011, blah, 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 blah. Ah, okay. I am part of a crisis group, which is some people who are meeting from different sides, both sides of the KPFA split, to try and, you know, get through whatever it is, the morass of the tension and the misunderstanding that I think a lot of people have misinformation about each other. And one of the reasons I thought it was important to do this was because I thought we should at least get a glimpse of who each of us is and our history, and that it would be helpful to do with something which I think is critical and one of the things I'd like to do this year, which is make us a team. I like that idea. We have terrible financial problems, and yet KPFA in particular keep giving us money no matter what's going on and what we're doing that's raising questions. But I think that we have the potential and the capacity to become a real team. And since I've been chair, usually I don't get to talk. All I get to do is say no, yes, you, shut up. You know, like that. I don't get to say what I think, so I'm abusing the chair now. Anyway, I really hope that we can, since I've been chair, that's what I was going. We've had a lot of unanimous votes. People don't usually hear about that. You know, I mean, they hear about that, you know, and rumors about each other and so forth. But there is a group, and it's got a pledge that didn't get off the ground, so it's probably not going anywhere. What's the pledge called?
The Unity Pledge.
The Unity Pledge. But we're trying to overcome the misunderstandings and try and find a way to do things that rescues Pacifica, which is really in a terrible financial teetering situation. Great.
Don't forget Mark, who arrived.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mark Hernandez is here for the record.
And he'll go after me. So my name is Craig Alderson. I came to Berkeley to go to school here January 1st, 1980, new month, new year, new decade. So I spent a few years in school, got involved in the student politics there, stuck around after I graduated. Anybody who's politically aware, I think, can't help getting involved in politics in the Bay Area. It's really rich and open for that. And I was involved in things from clinic defense, city politics, you know, electoral politics, rent board stuff, Central America. I worked for Central America Solidarity Group for many years. Wound up working at UC and got involved with the union there and became a union activist, union president, steward, that sort of thing. I anti-war, of course, around here. I was one of the 52 arrested in the Troubles in 1999 here at KPFA. These days, much of my volunteer activity now is related to the board. I work still at UC. I work for the Berkeley Federation of Teachers, so I still have my antenna up. I guess in terms of what I'd like to accomplish, I keep coming back to what I call my Prunedale problem, and I'll pass this on to you all. My folks live in Southern California, so I drive up and down 101 a lot. And Prunedale is just north of Salinas. It's where you can start picking up KPFA on the radio. And well, I love KPFA. There are times when it just sounds like it's broadcasting from outer space, you know, and I look around and I think, what relevance does this have for people here? I'm really interested in how we can broaden our message and connect with people outside the realm of the converted. I think we can bring a good progressive analysis, good radical analysis, in a way that sounds good, that persuades people. And I'm really interested to hear David's perspective more, because you're exactly the sort of person that I'm really interested in the station bringing in. I don't want to just speak to the choir. You know, we intend to change the world, and the only way we can do that is if we actually reach people and get through to them. And broaden our listenership. A lot of our programming is Berkeley and Oakland centric. How do we get beyond that? I think it raises some really interesting questions. I really enjoy hearing programs about the Central Valley, Vic Bedoyan, and what's happening in Fresno area. I enjoy hearing about the reports from LA, but I think it's a start. I think we need to broaden our listenership. And our reach, and connect with people who aren't part of the Bay Area political insiders. So I think that's our challenge, and that's where I'd like to go. And let's see. Speaking of the Central Valley, I want to pass this back to Mark Hernandez.
Wait until everything breaks down first. My name is Mark Hernandez, born and raised in Fresno, and the gentleman sitting over in the corner with the laptop is one of the reasons why I got involved in all this. Rich Withers was one of the engineers for KFCF, which brought KPFA into the Central Valley, has been doing so for over 30 years now, and has been one of the reasons why KPFA and KFCF and Fresno and Berkeley have been so well tied. And most people may not realize that when McGovern ran for president, Berkeley and Fresno were the only two cities that voted for him. Nope. Berkeley and Fresno were the ones that overwhelmingly went for McGovern. But we're beset upon by a number of conservative, radical right-wing radio stations in the area. And we, between us, are the only sane voice that's going on down there right now. We do our own local programming, but the majority of our programming comes from KPFA. And bringing the outer world, the larger world picture, into the community is our mission and KFCF. My mission here is to make sure that KPFA does do that outreach to the larger world, doesn't preach to the choir, doesn't just go to the same base that we always have, but reaches out, goes out to more people. The mission for Pacifica is to provide both sides, all sides, of any issue, and provide an analysis for it. It's not to be a bully pulpit for one point of view and one point of view only. And that's what I aim to do here.
Hi, I'm Kate Goen, and I have a teeny tiny resume, and I'm going to be very brief because my relevant experience only extends back to, I heard KPFA when I came up here to college and knew some of the people who are around here now in the 60s, and it was part and parcel of the total transition from a kid brought up in Southern California who always knew she didn't belong there. Mm-hmm. I left. I visited a few times subsequently and never looked back. But up until they canceled the morning show in 2010, I sort of took for granted that kind of broadly educational, excellently produced stuff was sort of like a human right or something. The management at that time that was interfering with local station programming and politics set me straight on that score. So I went to the meetings protesting these actions, and got roped into becoming politically involved, which is totally not me. I only ever marched once, and that was when Denise Levertov had us all marching from her poetry class for People's Park, I believe.
That's good.
Aside from that, I've been working my way through life and raising three kids by myself. And my main focus, maybe almost to exclusion of anything else, where I feel like my little one vote is matters, is in disabusing ourselves of the notion that management and governance are the same thing, and that the LSB has any business making particular programming decisions or in running along behind management and trying to do do-overs on what they do. Our job is to find good management and support them in every way that we can, and if they're failing at their job, then to get them out of there. But it's not to sit at their elbow and natter in their ears. And so that's my little personal goal.
My name is Bertie White. I commute from Oregon. Mr. Scruggs, I'm interested in talking to you about your roots there. Because of a PNB tradition of bending the bylaws, I'm in the fourth year of a three-year term, like you, Brian. History with KPFA started on Friday, May 13th, 1960, when I was involved in a demonstration against a happily defunct congressional committee called the House Committee on Un-American Activities. And as a result of being involved in that demonstration and being a graduate student, I was invited to become a commentator on KPFA on the student movement. I was working for my doctorate in medieval English literature. Fortunately, I got diverted by KPFA. After working as a volunteer for public affairs, I was invited on the staff under the mentorship of Elsa Knight Thompson. I became folio editor, development director, and most importantly, I think for what was a turn in my life, I became the chair of the first union at KPFA, chapter of NABIT, Local 51. I then became a member of the labor movement. I became director of labor relations for the California Nurses Association, later the Oregon Nurses Association. I'm now in neutral in labor relations, serving as a mediator and arbitrator. With no offense to my colleagues on the board, I am not now, nor have I ever been, an attorney. And my newest appointment, and I close with this because of the history of this particular industry with this station, I have been appointed the non-industry arbitrator under the new ILWU Pacific Maritime Association contract for the ports in the Columbia River and in the Oregon coast.
Wow.
And so back again to touch base with ILWU, which was very supportive of KPFA when I started my history with them. And I think I'm the last one on the...
Point of order?
Sure.
So I don't, just going back to item three, did we do excused absences?
No. So.
But welcome, everybody. Thank you. I have high hopes. I forgot to confess I was a lawyer. I work on the Pelican Bay solitary confinement work. But welcome. Hooray. And point of order from Janet, on are you going to move on excused absence? Somebody, oh no, somebody else. Brian, well.
I move to excuse the absence of Ramses Taylor Nichols. And Joy Moore.
Okay. All in favor, please signify by saying aye. I presume aye. Somebody I seconded that, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Good. It's done. All right. Announcements. Oh, minutes. Sorry. Minutes. Margie.
I'm sorry. I know we already approved the agenda, and it will take some enormous vote, like two-thirds, to do what I'm about to do. But I want to suggest that we have announcements and public comments before we do any other business, because the people who came to make public comments have been waiting for a very long time. And normally this happens much earlier in our meeting. So
second.
Thank you. So that's my is that we do.
All in favor, please raise your hands. Opposed? Okay. Let's do announcements. Announcements. Brian.
Just two quick things. I think we have about five new faces on the board. I was just curious if anyone here is interested in taking a tour of KPFA's studios after the meeting. They're a block and a half away. One. Well, If people are interested, I'll stick around to do that. Some of the other staff reps may want to join as well, but we can show you around.
Frank.
Hello, everyone. The KPFA apprenticeship program is seeking new applicants, and I got one here for the dates, but the application deadline is Friday, February 12th, and there'll be an orientation Thursday, February 18th at 7 p.m. at the station. So for more information, you can go to kpfaapprentice.org, or you can stop by KPFA and pick up an application or some information. Or you could also call, for people that might listen to this recording, 510-848-6767, extension 235. So once again, the apprenticeship program is seeking new applicants, and the deadline is Friday, February 12th, 5 p.m. Thank you.
Jose Luis.
Just a quick announcement. Tonight.
Oh, I don't think it's on.
Tonight, January 23rd at 7 p.m. at Eastside Art Alliance at 2277 International Boulevard in Oakland, the Coalition for Police Accountability is having Poetry for the People. You're all invited. There'll be performers. And cite an auction.
Any you haven't seen? None? Okay. Public comments. I don't have the sign-up sheet. If you would announce yourself.
Thank you.
Let's see. Eileen Elfenderry.
Should I grab that mic here?
Good.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. Eileen Elfenderry, the co-director of the KPFA News Department, and it was actually great to get a chance to hear who you all are as the governing board of KPFA, and I do thank you for the time and oftentimes frustration that is involved in serving on this board, so thank you. I'm here to unfortunately inject somewhat of a sour note on your first meeting of 2016, and this has to do with Janet Cobran and a violation of my privacy and that of several of my KPFA colleagues. You know, at a time that there's increasing sensitivity with the NSA surveillance and Edward Snowden's revelations and so on and so forth, I find it particularly disturbing that an entity like Pacifica would engage in this. What am I talking about? Janet apparently went and made copies of my personnel file and that of several of my colleagues. From what I understand, took them off the premises. It's what I've been told. When Maria Negrette, the business manager, asked why, I was told that Janet said, "I'll know it when I see it." That sounds to me like a fishing expedition, and I strongly object. And I'm bringing this to this body. I have several demands that I would like to make publicly. Number one, I would like Janet to inform me and the other affected union members about why you felt it necessary to make copies of our personnel files. I would like you to inform us if you shared that information with anybody else, and if so, who. I'd like to know the precise location, since I understand they were taken off the premises, where they were kept, at your home, at an office, under lock and key. If not under lock and key, then where? And finally, I would like the copies returned to KPFA if they were, in fact, taken off the premises. I feel that this incident has violated my privacy. It may be a violation of California state law, which guarantees workers a right to privacy. Kind of like, irrespective of that, it's just not the right way to operate. There are like 22, 23 members of the Pacifica National Board. Might understand that I could have 22 or 23 people coming to grab my personnel file. I don't think that's the way that Pacifica should be operating. I understand I'm addressing the LSB, not the PNB, but you're the ones who are here. You are her colleagues. And so I would hope that you could make it clear to Janet that this violated our privacy and our rights as workers at KPFA. Thank you.
Point of personal privilege. I think that maybe we should finish announcements and then decide what we're going to do, the public comments. And then, well, I'll give you that after we finish this so that if other people are waiting and want to leave, probably they'll all want to stay, but announcements continue. The next public comments. My Tess Wellborn, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi. I'm Tess Wellborn, a San Francisco activist, and thank you all for your service, past and future. I've observed a number of LSB meetings, and among other things, that you often don't finish your agenda. I see 5 to 10 people speak on a point, one person speaks one point, and then I see one or two or three other members reply to each of those points, which ends up with about one or two or three people speaking four times as many times as any other person on the board. And I wonder about how Robert's Rules works in that situation, and I wonder about any other agreements you might have. To me, it feels like bludgeoning, and it feels obstructive. I've observed, moving to my second point, I've observed a PNB delegate tell this LSB of an investigation of a bequest. What is a delegate to the PNB's role and responsibilities? That makes me wonder. Did the PNB authorize that investigation? Did the LSB authorize the delegate from this board to conduct that investigation? Since there was a lot of additional information that that person did not have that came out at an LSB meeting, what will happen with that information, and how will this board and the PNB respond to it? Thirdly, regarding the a person who is apparently a delegate from this board going into personnel files, did the PNB authorize that? Did this LSB authorize your member of the LSB to take such action? What would be good reasons for doing something like that? What are the roles and responsibilities of LSB members and PNB delegates? And since you're going to be voting on that soon, I'd be very interested in hearing how that is handled. But I hope for good future work. KPFA is extremely important. Pacifica is less important in my mind, but also important. Thank you.
Stan Woods.
Hi, I'm Stan Woods, resident of Oakland, California, former member of the LSB and of the Program Council. And the latter is the main thing I want to talk about. I'm very well aware of the fact that The LSB does not have any direct or even indirect role over programming or the news department. But that wasn't always the case. For several years, we had a democratically elected program council that had real decision-making power of both listeners, board members, and community members. I wish we still had it, and we hope it can be revived. Over the years, there's been constant problems that never go away with terminology used by the news department that apes the corporate media. The most glaring example was when Ronald Reagan finally died, may he rot in hell. And the news department read, rip and read, said that a nation mourns. Repeat, a nation mourns. Many people, including people who support Save KPFA, objected to that. I'm not saying people were dancing on his grave, but many people in this country, and not just here in the Bay Area, in my home state of West Virginia, many people despise that man, and we shouldn't use the terminology of the corporate media. Some years later, there was a constant thing when there were strikes of using the term replacement workers, quote unquote, the corporate media term for strike breakers. It took a lot of protests before that ended. Most recently, referring to police shootings, and I encountered this from some listeners at the police commission in San Francisco, there's been used terms like alleged police shooting. Allegedly, I didn't hear this one, but several people came to me, said during a coverage of Mario Woods, who was executed by a de facto firing squad, the news department said alleged police shooting. What was alleged about that? We should not use the corporate media terminology. I disagree with Mark Hernandez on practically everything, and I disagree with his libertarian approach that we're not supposed to take sides. People support KPFA because we damn well do take sides. We're the voice of the left, not of the right.
All right. No one else has signed up, so I think Janet. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Dennis.
Hello, my name is Daniel Borgstrom. It's about 10 years now since I took up board watching here at KPFA, attending these meetings. Here, listening to the introductions, I heard a lot of very beautiful stuff said. People's backgrounds sounded good. And it makes me say, what is KPFA Pacifica, and I think of Pacifica as a large horse barn with a lot of beautiful horses in it. And we're at this horse show, and we all have something in common that we love horses. Every one of us, we just totally love horses. Unfortunately, some of these people who love horses are horse thieves. Yes, and that's kind of uncomfortable. I mean, maybe that sounds humorous. I try to say it nicely, but I would say I'd like to call a horse thief a horse thief, a conspiracy a conspiracy, a heist, a hijacking or attempted hijacking. Watching this for 10 years now, KPFA didn't just deteriorate. It's not just bad management. I see it as sabotage by a clique of self-appointed gatekeepers. And that brings me back to this horse show. I hear these. What I think every one of you, everybody here, and this is what's really. I got articles on my website. I talk about this, but here's another thing. How did this really? What's the story behind the story? Now, everybody here, I think, has beautiful stuff in their background. How they began as activists. I think everyone here sincerely was an activist at one time, and something happened somewhere. Careers became more important. Careers in activism, on the radio, or whatever, became more important than keeping KPFA Pacifica together. What happened? Where did you people lose their ideals. They continue to talk about this great stuff, but lose their ideals. What happened? Thank you very much for listening.
That's the end of the public announcement section, public comment section. And I think that Janet had a point of personal privilege.
You know, I have a point of order.
Okay.
No. If we're going to be dealing with personnel issues on personal privileges,
I think executive
I want us to be
session.
There. Right.
Yeah.
This is, you can't read my mind. Sorry.
Right. Go ahead.
May I?
Go ahead.
Thank you. So, I am a director of the Pacifica Foundation, and per the bylaws, Article 12, Section 4, Article 12, Section 3, every director or his or her designated agent shall have the absolute right at any reasonable time to inspect and copy all of the foundation's books, records, and documents of every kind and to inspect the physical properties of the foundation. Any director or every director has this right. Any issue that any of the staff might have with this should not be addressed here, I agree, should be taken up with management. And so any reason for doing a director's inspection does not have to be explained. It just can be done. So that's what I will. There's no place that it says that a reason has to, there's no citation that says that a reason has to be given.
Point of order.
Yes.
We don't have this on our agenda as an item. We shouldn't get into a back and forth over
right.
it. It might be a good thing to put on a future agenda.
Right.
But we're
good
past
point.
Deadline for electing officers.
Right.
We have to elect PNB
right.
representatives today.
Right. Okay. All right. I think that that's right. And I think we should elect the officers first and then go to the minutes. Right?
Oh, the cab report.
Point
also
of order.
Right, an, yeah.
Election of LSB officers appears before the cab report on the agenda.
Okay. All right. We've got to get the officers elected. So... we have the officers are. Is that a chalkboard? Okay. So there's chair, vice chair, secretary, treasurer. Is there anything?
That's it.
That's it. Okay. So there's four officers, and so we'll take them one at a time. And why don't we start with chair and open the nominations? Margie.
I nominate Carol Travis. Second.
Sharon.
Oh, excuse me, I withdraw my weight. Sorry, withdrawn.
Okay. Going once.
Move we close nomination.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Forgot what I was supposed to be doing. I nominate Frank Sterling.
Okay, a second. Okay. Any other nominations? Okay. Vice Chair.
Order.
Yes.
Oh, we'll
you have
do
to do
first.
One at a time
okay,
because the winner
time.
Can't run for the other.
Okay. All right. And this is a paper ballot, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Who's doing the collecting and who's doing the counting? How about the Tanakas, huh? Huh? You want to collect those ballots and count? Yes. Yes, they do. Yay.
Just when you thought you were out.
They were just getting ready to leave.
So you're agreeing, right, Aki?
Great. The ballots are particular paper that you're given, not, you know, you don't make your own scraps.
Could someone explain the voting process?
Well, there's two people. You vote for one.
Thanks.
Right. You can rank them, right. No, you give them to Akri. Fold them and give them back.
Okay, with a Sharpie.
I promise I won't. Craig, that has holes in it. Come on.
Here.
Point of order or something. So we need to know how many LSB members or how many delegates. Oh, no, it's LSB members are present and to match the ballots. Really? Okay, so there should be 23 ballots. Right.
It comes down to basically an unresolved legal question of balancing the clause she read against things like HIPAA. Well, let's talk about
how this creates more dissension. I mean, this creates more trouble in the organization. We should.
If we do it, we should do it. It should be on the agenda.
Right.
People should know what's coming
that's
up
right.
on the agenda.
So I think we should put it on the agenda. We should make it an amendment today. We should make it an
agenda. Let's talk on the break.
You're welcome. Beyond which? Subcommittees, yeah. You can't, if you're an officer, you can't be on the PNB. PNB members cannot be officers in their local.
You have a ballot that no one else has. No one has PNB. So you can't be a student. That's the principle.
And random serial numbers.
That was very helpful. Yeah. And I think I had a shot.
Invisible watermark.
Nice little 20th century.
Would you do the arrest? Or your thumb?
always just.
Pardon me? Say it again, I'm sorry. Okay. Anybody else?
I would like to be vice chair of the LSB for 2016. Vote for me. My name is Sabrina Jacobs, host producer of A Rude Awakening on Mondays, 3:30 to 4, and the 420 Report every other Friday on La Onda Bajita.
All right.
Can I?
Do you go on a particular slate?
I ran slateless, sir.
Is this on? Excuse me, I respect your...
Yes, Ms. B, yes, go ahead.
Nominating yourself.
Sure.
But just for formality, since Ramses is not here, I'd like to say one thing about that I certainly appreciated about his willingness to be vice chair. He got us lots of free meeting rooms.
Okay.
Now, maybe we can convince him to continue that, but
Okay. Can
you come up with that, Sabrina?
I can one-up that, Barbara.
Not the performance studio.
No, forget that. No, hey. How about meeting rooms and some free food? I think I can manage that.
Uh-oh.
Because we need to be fed. This is very draining.
Enough frivolity. Yeah. Enough frivolity.
Could do it. All right. Vote for me. Vote for Sabrina.
Who's one's catching up here?
Here, I'm torn.
Switch them, yeah. Not that fast. Vote early, vote often.
As far as we know, there's no FBI agents in the room.
Well, yes, I believe so.
Okay.
Everybody listening to the recording now, we're taking a vote for the vice chair.
It's my golf commentator. I know, it's killing me right now. I just want to stop my recording.
So there's a discrepancy with the number of ballots.
Second rankings count under a new bylaw.
Oh, nobody told us we could vote for two. Oh, well, whatever.
I asked somebody to explain. Down the road, they have. I don't know how it works, so I'm fooling myself.
Well, right, but and Carol did say that we vote for one, but I think technically for an IRV election, you only vote for one. You don't vote for multiple.
I'll tell you, can I weigh in and not abstain?
I
it's too late.
People feel that the instructions were faulty. We should re-ballot.
Okay. Because some people put it down on the thing and it means that they on third spot. Yes, Brian.
Okay, so the question is the method by which our bylaws specify we should break ties using instant runoff voting. And under the most recent revision to the bylaws, you break a tie first by looking at subsequent ranking. So even though you only have two people, and it sounds like you would only need a first choice vote, whoever has more second, if one of them has more second rankings than the other, they would prevail. That's how the bylaws operate now.
So everybody should fill their first choice in the second spot?
If you vote for one person, you're guaranteeing that no portion of your vote will help break the tie in favor of the other person. If you vote for both of them and rank them, there's a chance that your vote will help your second ranked person get elected.
So you would vote for your first choice second?
No. Only if there's a tie.
Well, this is really KPFA, isn't it? This is.
May I read from the bylaws? Runoff voting.
Excuse me, it's my turn, Janet. I'd like to ask Brian or whoever has the guts to interpret the bylaws at this point. Can we just ask this group if there are people who want to redo the ballot? If there's nobody who wants to redo their ballot, then we don't have to do that.
Question, point of information. What is the third person running for chair?
Janet is next, and then Sasha. Janet?
Well, it looks like the bylaws also say that, all right, so each voter shall have one vote. Each ballot shall list all candidates for the position on which the ballot the voter shall rank the candidates in order of preference, with one representing the voter's first choice, two representing the voter's second choice. And by the way, IRV, instant runoff voting, it differs from STV in that you're only electing one person, one seat. Vote countings shall start with the tabulation of all first choice choices among the voters. If any candidate wins a majority, they win. If no candidate receives a majority, the last place candidate, defined as the candidate receiving the least number of first choice votes, is eliminated. It doesn't say anything about abstaining. In the case of a tie for last place, the first to be eliminated will be decided by lot. Last place. So
are we re-voting or are we flipping a coin?
I move that we re-vote now that everyone understands how their votes will be counted.
All in favor of re-voting, raise your hand. Opposed? Okay. Pass out the ballots. And I'll never, ever be flip about how to vote again.
Where's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
You can't stand.
Well, is somebody going
to run for secretary?
These ballots do not have numbers on them. Put your number. And put. It's the only one that looks like that. Just put the number. Okay.
So now we are taking a second vote. the ballots are being distributed on yellow lined paper with directions to number them in the order you wish them to be.
I think feats of strength then.
TM Scrubs. Are you related to Les Scrubs? What?
Earl Scrubs.
Earl Scrubs. Are you related to Earl Scrubs?
Oh, wait a minute.
What? I know.
End of a tie.
Got a bunkie.
19. He needs more
coconuts. This does not dissolve the tie. The winner will be selected by lot. Yes.
Where's the rest of the ballots?
What's lot?
Does everybody have their ballot in?
Randomness.
All ballots are in? No.
Here they are.
It's not the gal who was turned into a pillar with lots of
challenges. Ah. She would just appear and be like, you, and then freeze in that position of salt. You are the one.
Folks, I'd like to make a little announcement, please. Technically, the Senior Center does not want us to have food or drink in these rooms. So please be very careful. And when we go, we've got to take everything with us, okay? Yeah. Chair. Chair is guilty as hell. All right.
Is that contact sheet, that contact information sheet going around? Is that, okay, let's keep that going, okay? I just want to make sure we've got everybody's information. Yeah? Okay. Thanks.
This is where I usually sing. I don't feel it.
Maybe you can narrate the tabulation.
Someone like to sing?
So Aki and Carol are busy tabulating the votes. We will soon know who will be the vice chair.
Yes, Frank, and the ballots are quite colorful this year in the colors of the rainbow. That may be in support of the LGBT community or just maybe the variety of people that run for the board.
People are surreptitiously eating.
Very seldom in the real world of voting that you see colorful ballots.
Yes, that is very nice. Very nice addition. So any moment now.
No one is eating. No one has had a bite to eat.
They are negotiating.
People abide by the rules.
Tabulating the second votes, I'm sure. Now that everybody's aware of the voting method, Sabrina's looking confident over there, hoping, praying that she will come through with that free food as she promised in her campaign speech from the table.
Yeah.
sometimes it's funny to listen back to the recordings and hear people's like little side conversations. Like,
when do you go back?
To forget that. The mic is on.
And it is a beautiful day here in the KPFA LSB meeting, 72 degrees, occasional clouds and storms, showers coming through, but they haven't seemed to have deterred the turnout for the vote in any way, the showers. So it is a beautiful day, and it looks like they are getting ready to announce the vote.
So it came down to the secondary votes, and Ramses Teo Nichols is again the winner.
Now your name's out there. Well,
lots
maybe
of excitement to the day.
Right. Okay. Next, we have secretary. The nominations are now open. Margie Wilkinson.
Oh.
I want to nominate Craig Alderson.
Is there a second?
Sharon.
Nominations are still open. Nobody wants that job. Oh. What? Oh, okay. Thank you, dear. Yeah. Yeah.
Not without a microphone.
Oh, but you gotta talk on the mic.
Oh, this is it right here. I'm hogging it.
Now the microphone is passing to TM Scruggs. I have the microphone, and I am TM Scruggs, and I am fatally allergic to nuts. And I kind of sometimes shy away from doing that, but I was in the Marin General ER yesterday for 6 hours, so I decided I am going to be obnoxious and speak up. So everyone who's had nuts, don't give me a nice five, ask me for a high five,
and
get pissed off, and I don't do it.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Nuts are good for you.
All right. I'm about to close the nominations, going once, going twice. They are closed by acclamation. Hooray! Yeah.
Where's their minutes?
The nominations for treasurer are now open. What's your name? What is it? Anthony. Mike, here.
And I'd like to nominate Sharon Adams.
Okay. Sharon Adams. Yes.
Tim Lynch, I nominate Barb Whipperman.
Yeah. Okay. Any other nominations? Seeing none, going once, going twice. The nominations are closed, and ballots are now being passed out. And remember, people can rank. And people are ranking. So.
Can I make a campaign speech?
Go for it.
I really think that, the finances of Pacifica and KPFA local station board are extremely important, and that's why I'm running for the treasurer position. And one of the things I would love to do if I were elected treasurer is get monthly updates of the finances. I see this, we got a three-month profit and loss statement, that was handed to us today. I would like to see something like monthly at every LSB meeting. We would have a accounting of the finances for the station.
Yeah, we're kind of distributed around the table. I think I have two. I grabbed your snack.
Vote for me, Sharon Adams.
You should have one of these.
Thank you. Thank you. Operating campaigns. Sharon Adams.
Well, actually, there is an expectation that we should have monthly statements, and one of the proposals we're going to be talking about is a schedule for the year, and it has been difficult for all the information to be collected in time to give us a monthly statement. So I have a proposal that will facilitate this process and make it more possible for the not only the business manager but all the parts of the station, the staff that she has to get information from and from the national office to give us statements in a timely fashion. So I guess Sharon and I agree on the fact that we need these statements. That, of course, they haven't been happening is, I suppose we would differ on the reasons that why that hasn't been happening. Anyway, I'm willing to continue serving, and that's my statement.
Have all the ballots been connected? Okay.
We're currently counting the ballots for treasurer. A brown piece of paper has been used for this election process.
But he didn't hear about the first one.
But
it's, you know, there's a certain amount of arbitrariness about whether donations made through the website land here or here. It has to do with when they close the books on a fund drive.
Right.
Because there's usually a lot of shoppers who go to the website right after a fund drive ends. Uh-huh. Like they've waited to hear everything as if it's gotten offered on the air. They've paid theirs, and then the website lays them on menu stock.
Yeah, right.
So the weekend after a fund drive, we'll see like 10,000 people on the website.
That's interesting.
We had almost 100,000 coming through our website in the 2.5 weeks between the end of the December fund drive and New Year's Eve. It looks like most of that got counted as listener support, as fund drive support, rather than landing down here. Well, it must have. Right.
Okay. So as you just said, yeah, there's an overlap. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
So, sure.
That's funny that people do that. That just strikes me as a lot of people listening to terrestrial radio, hearing the premiums.
Okay.
I just want to go outside, just the votes. Well, I mean, there's an only place you're going to hear some of the documents.
So did you.
So you can read the
documents.
Great campaign. Thank you.
You can't hear it.
Okay. Where's my agenda?
KPFA News is now in a position to project a winner. We have a winner in the treasurer election.
The winner is Barbara Whipperman. All right. Let's see. Next, we have the, I think we're at the CAB report.
Hello, I'm Carol. Is this on?
Yeah.
I'm Carol Wolfley with the KPFA Community Advisory Board, and it's our task to give input to the station management and the LSB from the community. And I wanted to start today by saying that we got very positive feedback about the KPFA coverage of the Martin Luther King events last week. I was in Oakland doing KPFA outreach work at the march, and many people talked about how much they appreciated Hard Knock Radio's coverage of the issues related to social justice and the many police killings of people of color. Many other participants in the actions who did not know about KPFA took literature and expressed interest in having a reliable source for local news on these critical issues. Hard Knock coverage with ongoing interactions with numerous organizations involved locally, as well as contacts with others involved in similar actions across the country, and the sharing of segments and information on other KPFA programs and news enabled the station to provide listeners with timely and accurate pictures of what was happening. DVD's coverage of the blocking of the Bay Bridge was of particular interest for people wanting to hear eyewitness reports. And that's another example of community connection. I also want to say it would have been great to have live streaming of that kind of an event to show on our website, because people really want to be able to see it as well as hear about it. The Flashpoints program yesterday on Friday, January 21st, hosts were in Santa Fe interviewing people about housing, employment, and immigration issues with music related to those topics in both English and Spanish. And I think that speaks to what some of you are talking about wanting to have outreach into communities and a presence in those communities in a way that speaks to what's going on there. These are great examples of what many people have told us that they look to KPFA to provide and are a powerful force for expanding membership. And now I want to introduce Robin Collin, who's going to talk about some other work of the Community Advisory Board.
Well, welcome to the new members, and nice to see you guys again. I had a little stint where I was a Pacifica employee, so I had to resign for a second from the Community Advisory Board, but then I found gainful employment. Did I say that out loud? Well, so I'm allowed to be back, and I'm happy to be back, and I'm going to report that we are actually planning. Well, I haven't seen you guys since I reported on the community needs assessment last year, and we did get a general manager report, but it wasn't actually notified to us that we got it, so we found out in October, although it was released in July. I think we could improve our communication a little better. Anyway, the Community Advisory Board seeks to support lively interaction between the station and the community to gather information and proposals from the community about programming and station policies. We're in the process of preparing for an upcoming Community Advisory Board meeting on Saturday, March 26th at the South Berkeley Public Library. We've asked station management to invite members of the staff to attend, and we invite members of the LSB and are reaching out to the public about the meeting as well. We hope to see you guys there. It's always interesting to hear and get the community together with you guys, especially the programmers, because it draws the community. So we had really good turnout last year. Davey D came, Philip Maldari came, Carol came, Margie came, Frank came, Sarah came. We had good turnout from both sides and a lot of good information, we thought. So we're hopeful for another successful event. And then moving on to the KPFA elections, the CAB members received numerous phone calls and emails with questions and concerns about the local station board election. Some of the concerns were that there were several long delays in the election process, and the paper ballot mailing caused confusion for voters, problems with changing and inadequate airing of candidate carts. We didn't get to hear from everybody, or the timing would be at 5 o'clock in the morning, which I'm about the only person who probably heard it. There were concerns about lack of community debate, forums, and events about the election so that more people could know about it on time and come. There were problems with inadequate notification about on-air debates, problems with staff endorsement on individual candidate information postings. Some volunteer members were not sent ballots. Some CAB members were first identified as staff voters and not sent ballots, even though they applied for membership. Some staff members were duplicated on voting lists as both staff and listener members. Some volunteer and listener members never received ballots or were told they were not eligible to vote. Some requested replacement ballots and they were not seen in unanswered emails. So that's our report, and thank you guys for your time.
So my question is, what if one of the staff or the LSB volunteers wants to attend, should they just show up or should they contact you first, or do you want to know who's coming?
Oh, please. Let us know if you're going to come. And that helps us to do outreach because people love, all your fans want to hear that you're coming, and then they can know that they can ask you questions and hear about your programs, what you're going to do.
TM.
As a listener, to really, if we can get the word out to the programmers, it's, you know, you never get to see the face behind the voice. And it just, you never get to see the face behind the voice. And so as many people as we can get to show up, I think that's just a great, I'd like to see more of that kind of visual contact. I think it really just, it just cements the listenership, you know.
And, and he's so handsome.
Until you actually see our faces.
Brian.
No, but there are exceptions.
Brian.
Now that we're done with everything that forces people to sit through our meeting who aren't actually members of the board, I'd like to propose that we take up out of order the PNB delegate elections.
Mm-hmm.
We absolutely have to get it done by the end of
right.
the day, and I want to make sure we don't run out of time. It would take 2/3 to take it up out of order.
Right. Okay. So that's moved.
Point of
information. That seconded? Is that seconded? Okay.
Point of information.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering where the approval of the minutes comes in. I can't remember what we decided on that.
Oh, before the CAB report.
Before the CAB report. Right. Whoops. Why don't we approve the minutes, because that was supposed to happen, and then, but let's vote on this since we've got it on the table, moving up after the approval of the minutes, the election, the PNB election. All in favor, please raise your hand.
Can I?
Okay. Opposed? Okay. Yes.
Can we have the 5-minute break before that I'm proposing?
Yes. Yes, we can. So let's just do the minutes, and then we'll have a break. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. The minutes. Yes, I'm sorry, yes.
I move approval of the minutes of the December 12th meeting.
Is there a second?
So I just want to tweak the minutes. I don't think this affects the substance at all, but Virginia Browning earlier pointed out an apparently confusing item on page 2 with the bylaws amendments. For example, amendment number 1, on the motion it says failed, but there are 12 yes votes and 2 no votes. So that seems a little contradictory, and that's the case with some of these other votes. The reason is that bylaws amendments require an absolute majority of the board, which is 13, in order to be approved. And I'll just make that note as part of these minutes so it's clear. So anybody, you know, archaeologists, 1,000 years from now, will understand why it failed, even though there were 12 yes votes.
Any other changes or amendments to the minutes?
Do we call the question?
Seeing none. All those in favor of accepting the minutes with the change that Craig, or the addition that Craig noted, please raise your hands. Opposed. Okay. The minutes are accepted. All right, we're going to have a, 10-minute break? Okay, a 10-minute break, and then we will adjourn into a delegates assembly and elect the board. A recess.
But this is a break. This is not the recess. Okay.